We are delighted to have Brother Eric Bowman, missionary to Africa, the assistant director for BIMI to Africa. And, of course, we know him as being a graduate of our school here. We're very proud of Brother Bowman, his family, and the work they've done in missions. And we're thrilled that they call this their home church. And what a blessing that is to us. Brother Bowman, you come and teach us the lesson.
All right, what a blessing it is to be with you now this morning and to be able to see so many wonderfully familiar faces. And thank you for many of you that are here with us now. And my family is a joy to be able to reconnect with many of you. Good to see you, Brother Nixon. And many of you don't realize Brother Nixon was my soul-winning trainer in college. And what a wonderful blessing that has been and a good friendship we've had for many years. And some of the techniques that he taught me in college in Fisherman's Club and training has been used in Africa all the way through, and we're training all of our men using the same things, and praise the Lord. You know what? It works no matter what continent you're on, amen? And there's folks that need to be saved, and there's folks that need the gospel all around. And you know what? The blessed book works, amen? And I tell you what, and the same plan of salvation, the same word of God works, and we praise the Lord for all that he's done. I bring you greetings from my father and my mother, and they all say hello. They say to say hello to, they started naming off all these people, and my dad said, oh, just say hello from the pulpit. I'm going to say hello again during the main service, but I also want to just say hey to all of you from them. And 17 wonderful years, my dad says, they've had here, wonderful memories, and all the time and the friendships that they've had, and they have such wonderful thoughts of everyone here. And of course, when God moves them on, they moves them on, and they're very happy in the place where they are there in Georgia, but of course always have very, very, very fond thoughts and memories of back at Berean. And we do too. And thank you for Berean and the major part you folks have played in our ministry and in our life. And I'll talk more about that later. I want to be able to share with you a little bit some things this morning, and just to be able to be an encouragement to you. I want to be able to, for us to focus on, just read briefly, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, just as an introduction into the Sunday school lesson this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. And it's a blessing, everyone that I've seen, no one has changed, and no one has aged, and that's a wonderful thing, amen? I can say that, you can say that, and we can both be happy about it, right? And we'll just ignore reality. But wonderful, what a blessing to be able to see everybody and to see the faces, and some of them have more hair down here than you had up here. And then some of us have more weight down here than we had in other places, and we won't talk all about that either. So we'll go on. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul is writing here, and of course to Timothy. And he makes a nice mention in the last part of this verse, but we'll read the first full verse there. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Of course, we know Timothy. He's learned many things from his parents, mother, grandmother, of course, the Apostle Paul. I take that verse and I look in my life and I see how many things and people that have been influential in my life and have taught. And what a wonderful blessing it is to be able to see and to remember those things, and especially of whom I have learned them. Some of you in this auditorium have been my Sunday school teachers. School teachers. I gave Miss Luce, who was then Mrs. Edward. Wonderful, the fact that she still loves me. I did pass those courses in English, though, praise the Lord. Am I bumping this wrong? All right. I want to make sure we get... All right. Some of you folks, of course, course, we're thinking of Brother Nixon, we knew in college. Some of you were youth leaders, looking back at Pearson's. How many times people in this room have made an impact and a blessing on my life? And that many times you go to the end of the mission field and you're all set, you've been trained, you've been prepared, you've gone to Bible college, you're all set and ready to go. But all of a sudden, once you get to the field, all of a sudden you realize there's a whole lot of new things that need to be learned. This morning, I would like to just share with you a few things of lessons that I've learned from the mission field. Lessons that I've learned that some of our national Christians have taught me. Things that I needed to grow personally as a Christian. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Paul says here, "Be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Of course, missionary work, there's a lot of things that it's called missionary work today that is not, unfortunately, what we view as missionary work from the Bible. Missionary work is church planting. Missionary work is soul winning. It's evangelism. No matter what we do, it must revolve around the Word of God and church planting. We have to make sure we realize that. And therefore, when we have missionaries and their support, realize the focus of that has got to be, at the end of the day, we are church planting. In many churches I go to today, there's a lot of missionaries that are going on, and they're going to the mission field, and they have other alternatives. Some of them want to be a video choreographer. And some of them want to be able to help with this or that. And it's not involved around church planting. But so, therefore, when you go to the mission field, and you support missions that go to the mission field, we need to realize that has got to be the focus. And that is the only thing that will reap eternal rewards and benefits. Now, with that in mind, there's been many things that, with that philosophy in mind, that our national Christians and even life on the mission field has taught me. One of the things that has taught me to have, in many areas, a very mature faith in God. Your missionaries have to have that. You know, many times we are discouraged about the fact that there is deputation. And missionaries must go for sometimes a long period of time raising support. But let me tell you, it is a help, because when we arrive on the field, in order to do that church planting work, we must arrive on the field with a very mature faith. Although my faith wavers many times, as I'm sure many of yours, but it is a total reliance and a dependence on Christ that we need always. Many times when people talk about missions, always the word Africa is always connected to it. Why? I don't know. Some people view that as the ultimate in sacrifice. God send me anywhere, but not Africa. You know the cute little story that goes along with that. But that is a great fear among a lot of people, is if I go to a place such as that, can I trust God to keep me safe? Isn't it strange that we can be able to trust God for our salvation, our eternal destiny? We can trust God for all the big decisions in life, but we fail many times to trust God for the little things. Just day-to-day security, our daily-day bread, the things that we need from God. Let me share with you, that's something that our African Christians have vitally taught me. How to completely rely upon God. A culture that is totally from hand to mouth. What they grow, they eat. What they don't grow, they don't eat. They trust and rely upon God. And of course, We have so many things that are around us that shield us from that. We are so far removed from the base form of living. Many of us have no concern about what we're going to eat this week. It's already been prearranged. It's already been purchased already. It's in the cupboard. But many of our African friends, they do not have that faith. Excuse me, they don't have that assurance. Therefore, they must have that faith to simply rely upon God. Boy, that's how the Lord has helped to teach me. And even in every part of life, basic necessities of life, He is still faithful. Do you understand about the faithfulness of God? Have you allowed the faithfulness of God to go inside your being and to swell to the point where you fully and completely rely upon Him for every part of your life? That's kind of hard sometimes to think about, even in today's economy, sometimes a little bit. Jobs are going, people are struggling, but you know what? God is still faithful. Not only is that, but He's been faithful also, even in not only in meeting our daily needs, but also in protecting His servants. A lot of people struggle with that, and even new missionaries going to Africa, they have to think about, what do we need to do? There's so many things that can happen there. Governments can blow up, but we can have rebels all of a sudden come in our country and cause problems. We can have terrorist activity. We've seen that already in several fields. Anything can happen. But God will always protect His people. There's been many times that we have been very close, looking back on it, to danger. And God has seen us through every time. I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you. This happened several years ago. As I was traveling from the capital city up to where we lived, up in the small town of Nyahururu, we had to go through a very deep valley. It was right on the Rift Valley. It drops down a couple thousand feet, then you have to go up on the other side. And this part of the road is a very treacherous, so kind of a switchback road there. I had recently purchased an old truck, and that I was fixing up and trying to be able to use that as my truck that I would use for bush evangelism way out in the villages there. So we have been repairing and working on it. I'd gotten some parts for it in the capital city, and now we're coming back home. I was by myself. As I was just starting to come up and to go drop down into the valley, a large container truck was in front of me. No problem. You know, the roads there, they say they're two lane, but really they're not. They're about a lane and a half, you know. And so, no problem, I see him, and so I start to be able to pass him. We drive on the other side of the road there. So go to be able to pass him on the other side. And as I go to pass him then, I see a fuel tanker truck coming up the valley, coming up. And they're almost to pass each other. And there, because the lanes are a lane and a half, just about, it takes both large trucks that have to go off the road on each side with their tires in order to pass each other. And here I'm coming. So I apply the brakes, and to my shock and horror, the pedal went all the way to the floor. It's an old truck, so no problem. Start pumping. Boy, I started to frantically pump. Nothing. I quickly downshifted, popped the clutch, and trying to do everything I could to slow the vehicle down. It was not slowing. I'm coming up on the vehicles, the truck in front of me, fuel truck coming right up. They're getting off on both sides of the road just to be able to come up. We're dropping down in the valley. This side is a part of the mountain there. The other side is a sheer cliff dropping down. Two trucks getting ready to pass. And I'm very speedily coming toward them. I'm pumping the brakes, nothing there. All I had time was to say, I remember the thought was, so this is how I'm going to go. I had time was to say, Lord, help me. Of course, I didn't say it in that nice, calm voice. Within seconds, I was on the other side of the road, through the trucks. To this day, I have no idea how I passed through. I have gone over that area, I don't know how many times. I have no idea how I did that. All you could say was, that was God. For some reason, he still had need of me to work there in Africa. There's been times that we have had, I've been out in the bush, and we've had close instances with snakes. I was out and sleeping in the middle of the Sahara, and I had a big spider or a scorpion come up and bite me on my neck. All those things happening, reactions to different venoms like that, and the Lord has always seen us through. He always protects his servants. Honestly, as I travel now as the assistant director, not only are we continuing with our ministry there, and I'll explain a little bit more about that tonight, but also helping to travel with other missionaries on the African continent there and helping it, getting into new fields and trying to get into new countries where the gospel has very little penetration there. Trying to be able to minister there. And in many places, people go, you can't go in there. There's no way you can go into that country, or why are you going into that region? That is a dangerous region. I've had to go on military convoys just to go up and be able to survey an area and be with some missionaries that are far out in a remote area. And don't go. But you know what? I have such a faith that God will take care of me.
Amen.
And you know what? If he'll take care of me, and I'm surely not much, he'll take care of each one of us. You know, when I first got to the field, I remember as soon as I landed in Kenya, I had never told anyone this, but I had a horrible sinking feeling of, dear God, what have I done? Here I had a wife and a small 5-month-old baby going into an unknown area. We couldn't afford a survey trip before then. Flying in there, didn't know what I was getting into. But the field has taught me to have a complete reliance upon God. He will provide for all of our needs. He will protect his people. Another thing that the field has taught me is also relationships are important. That's something I feel like we've lost in our own American culture. You know, in American culture, there's one thing that we worship, and it's something that really gets frustrating. This thing right here. And you know what? If you respect my, then we'll be friends. If you don't, it limits the friendship, doesn't it? Of course, you know, now don't be afraid. I will keep within your time limit as preaching, though. Don't worry about that, right? He was just there thinking, now listen now, huh? But we really regard our time, don't we? But relationships are so important. One thing that I share with our new missionaries that go on the field, I say, take off your watch for your first couple months. Just don't wear it. It will help you to adjust. Because developing relationships with people are vital. It has happened, and it is not a strange thing to see as we're going through the street there in our little town there in Yahururu, for there to be a small little traffic jam of the, not a whole lot of cars that's there, but there. Why? There's two people that haven't seen each other in a while. I've seen this several times. And all of a sudden, they stop their two vehicles, and they get out, and they howdy with each other right there in the middle of the road. And they get back in their vehicle, and then they go. And now, since they're starting to adapt to a little bit of our Western culture, now there's a few horns honked. But back then, there wasn't other people just say, oh, you know what? They haven't seen each other for a while. They'll let them howdy for a little bit, and then they'll go on. Do that right now downtown, and you see what happens. Relationships in the church are very important. In West Africa, they actually have a special handshake that two friends give. It's a handshake of bonding. And that's the handshake they give in church. I hope everyone's a friend here. I hope there's a wonderful unity here. There should always be. And that's one thing the mission field has taught me, that relationships are so important. Cultivate these relationships. I had a wonderful meal last night with the Carpenters, and of course the Pipers were there. Boy, wonderful things what God is doing in Brother Piper's life, you know? Praise the Lord. But the relationships there, let's continue to cultivate them, because those are the things that we carry into eternity. Yes, we need to take care of our time, but it's the relationships that we carry. Another thing that the mission field has taught me, and this is something that's been very humbling for me personally to be able to experience, is that the mission field has taught me that nobody is too poor to give. You know, and this is something that we try to teach our own missionaries, but we want to make sure that we teach our people on the field that God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. For anybody, it does not matter what race, what continent you are on, what your background is, God is your God. Because let me tell you, on many mission fields, the national Christians, they'll have a mentality of, there's a different God for the God of the Americans than there's a God for the African. Look how God is blessing America. Their God must be great. But look at what is happening to us. Evidently, the God of the African is not doing very good. Oh, no. And we have taught them and encouraged them, hey, listen, it's the same God. Guess what? If God can be able to answer my prayers, God can be able to answer your prayers. If God can help a church in America to be able to buy a plot and build a building, guess what? God can be able to answer the prayers of our people here to be able to buy a plot and be able to build a building. Amen. There should be no difference there. Yes, I believe that maybe we can be able to help in some ways that we can, but we need to realize is that we need to make sure that our people on the field realize there is a God in heaven that loves everybody, and it's the same God. The same God we preach here is the same God we preach there. The same God that saves us here, same God that saves us there. Same one that answered our prayers here, same one that can help us there. Therefore, we do that. It's wonderful to be able to see them, be able to capture that. And them, sometimes in their poverty, to see them provide for their pastor, to see them get a piece of land, to see them start building. We had one of our pastors in the village of Pessy. He started and planted a church there, and people started to come, people getting saved, baptized, and I went out there several times to be able to encourage him and be able to preach there for him and continue to help him there. And he said, "Preacher, we're getting kind of confined in the area that we're staying in right now. They were meeting in a person's home." So they would expand the person's home. They would have get some more wood and posts, and they'd expand his home a little bit more. And he said, "We really need to see if we can be able to get some land here." I said, "Well, we'll continue to pray with you on that and see what the Lord will open up." He came back to me several months later, and he says, "Missionary, we're tired of waiting on you." He says, "God has already got us a piece of land. Now can you see if you can pray with us, see if God can be able to give us a building?" I said, well, praise the Lord. I tell you what, we'll pray with you on this and see what God can be able to do. And he says, now, you see our people, how much they have. They don't have much, but sure would be nice if we can be able to get some help. Now, we'll pray for that. I was on a couple trips, and then I came back, and he cornered me, and he says, missionary, he says, we're getting kind of waiting on you. We've already built our building. Can you at least help us with the tent on a roof? What a wonderful blessing. I remember walking, going there, putting some tin there. The people had such a holy pride in the fact that they see, missionary, look what God did through us. He was helped to provide this. Of course, the building wasn't much. It was a big mud hut. But you know what? God met inside. You know, it doesn't matter if you have a beautiful church such as this, or you're in one of those mud hut churches, or we have a couple of churches that don't have a place. They're still meeting outside of some big trees. But you know, it doesn't matter. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. Amen. And you know what? People can get saved underneath a tree. They can get saved in a big mud hut church, just like they can here. And to see the sacrifice through them. I've been humbled as I've preached for some of them, our pastors and some of their churches there. They say, preacher, we want to be able to help you and give you a love offering for you coming preaching for us, missionary. Oh, no. Oh. Missionary, you can't say no to us. You've came and you've preached to us. The Bible says, and you've even taught us, you've taught our people to take care of the pastor. And now the preacher's come in, you've come in as a missionary, you preached to us. You're going to have to get a love offering. And to see them give, in one case we had 4 eggs, a handful of spinach, some rice. They wanted to take care of their missionary. I remember one dear lady, we call her Shosho, which is in the Kikuyu tongue, grandma. She's the grandma for everybody. She's a sweet lady. When the life expectancy of people there are somewhere between 35 and 40, you get a grandma there, she's the grandma for everybody. Dear sweet lady, she hardly has a tooth in her mouth, but she loves the Lord. I remember after preaching in the church she attends, she stopped me afterwards and she says, missionary, God has blessed me so much. Of course, I'm looking at what she's wearing. I know where she lives. I know her little garden. She says, missionary, God has blessed me so much. I am so overjoyed with his blessing. She says, I brought something for you. And she hands us a live chicken. Upside down, holding us by the leg. And I know if she ate that, that would be all the meat that they would have for the entire month. But you know what? Those churches out there, they support missions. They have their own national missionaries they support. One of our churches has already reproduced itself 5 different times. Is it me? No. But you know what it is? It's been a blessing to see how God has the same Holy Spirit inside of you, inside of me, working inside of them. And seeing them grow and mature and being even greater Christians. And I'm so excited and thrilled. And to see them go out and do even greater works for the cause of Christ. Many times I think we get short-sighted here in America. We get to thinking that ministry is relying upon all of us here. And sometimes sacrifice is only done on this side of the ocean. Oh no. Your sacrifice is appreciated and is carried on. They have been able to learn from the sacrifices of people just like you here in Berean Baptist Church. They've been able to learn from you. And they've seen what you have done and who you've sent and administered to them. Now they've received the gospel. Now they've turned and they are continuing on with the gospel of Christ. They're continuing to sacrifice. I was going to share this later on, but let me just share this right now. Since I have been back for this furlough here, we had in one of our new church plants up in the village of Longalani, several of our pastors went up there for a soul-winning campaign up there. They went up there and preached for several days. 93 folks were saved. One of which was a man that had different features. Spoke with a little different accent. And after dealing with them, curiosity overcame one of our pastors, and he says, "Now, you're not from this tribe. Where are you from?" He says, "I'm an El Molo." "Really? You mean the small little tribe, El Molo?" "Yeah. El Molo is the smallest Kenyan tribe. They live way up almost to the border of Sudan. The last count that they had of their tribe was just a little over 400. Almost nearing extinction, almost. They've been slowly integrating even with some other tribes a little bit, just to save themselves from extinction. And here that man received Christ. And he says, "You've got to come up and teach our people that." So he made a big thing, invited all of our pastors, "You're going to have to come up to where our tribe is up there, and they need to hear what I've just received. I want to help you do it." They organized, and I got, the wonderful thing is now, technology is so great, I can be able to text from here in America all the way out to the bush in northern Kenya. And they texted me, they said, "Missionary, you'll never guess what happened." They told me the story. And so they said, we just can't believe it. The pastor says, "This is our mission field." You realize, missionary, this is one of our tribes that have been unreached for the gospel. Therefore, it is our responsibility, and this is our mission field. Amen. They've gotten together. They have all done this, by the way, totally self-funded. And by the way, when fuel is between $6 to $8 a gallon, they funded to be able to, with their offerings, and the food for the pastors to take a vehicle and go way up to where they are. And they've preached. They did this past week. 25 people got saved. Amen. 25 out of 400. That's pretty good, isn't it? But the wonderful thing is to see the missionary heart continue on. Because you know what I teach them? I teach them, the gospel does not stop with you. It must go through you to somebody else. Dear Christian friend, has the gospel stopped with you? Or are you letting it go through you? Oh, there's some lessons that I've learned. And they are continuing to teach me these things. How their desire for ministry, their sacrifice, their willingness to give is an inspiration to all of us. And how they have allowed us to minister together with them. It's been a joy. The question is, are you still allowing God to work through you? You see, missionary, you may say, "I don't know much. I haven't been trained very well." Well, that's another thing that they've taught me. You don't have to really have a lot of abilities to serve the Lord. Look what he's used here. But God has used in our weakness in order to help other people to receive Christ. Many Christians today, they're looking among themselves and they say, you don't understand, I'm not much. I don't have much. I don't have very much of ability. I get nervous when I speak to other people. It's hard for me to be able to witness. But see, God knew that when he created you. He knew that. And he still has given you a will of his to fulfill. He's given within your bosom his particular will to fulfill for his honor and glory. You say, but I'm not much. Yes, but you are exactly all he needs. All it takes is a heart that's committed and surrendered to his will. We have had young men saved who didn't even know how to read or write. But they had the Holy Spirit inside them. They memorized scripture. And they went out soul winning. They've been winning folks to Christ and they still can't read. But they've got memorized scripture. Some of our churches are filled with adult literacy. Literacy is a very big problem there. So what we do is that we'll have church memorization every Sunday morning. We did that for a period of time, and what a wonderful blessing that was. People that can't read or write, but right now they know over 30 verses of Scripture. They know the whole entire plan of salvation. They know verses how to help themselves to be able to flee from temptation. How to grow as a Christian. Oh, and how many verses do we know? Oh, there's been some things as the mission field has helped to teach me. You don't have to know much. You don't have to have much to serve God. Just allow God to have all that you are. Open up and let him work completely in your life. You see, God honors simple faith. You know, we here in America, we have a lot of props that prop up our faith. We have a nice house. We have a nice car. We have a job of some sort. And when those things get to be kind of tight, we even have a credit card. We don't really have to trust God very much, do we? I wonder what will happen when all those props get knocked out. That's what God has helped me to learn a little bit more on the mission field, is how to have a simple faith without all the props being propped up as a Christian. Sometimes in our Christian life, God has to shake us up a little bit. Sometimes he has to knock out some of those things that have been keeping us propped up in order to have us completely rely upon him. Those are some things that the mission field has taught me. And I hope that's been an encouragement and helpful to you. Because you know what? Those lessons are very precious to me because of whom I have learned them. Those who couldn't read or write have helped to teach me about faith in Christ, faith in God, trusting him for every little thing. What about you, friend? How's your faith? How about the gospel message? Have you allowed it to stop with you, or is it going through you to somebody else? May God help us to be better Christians, because some of the lessons we can learn from those less fortunate. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. How many would say God's spoken to my heart about something during Sunday school hour? Raise your hand right now. Slip it up. Let's all stand. Everyone standing. If God spoke to your heart, you want to come to the altar now, you come right now. Pray about that decision. Come on right now. You don't need music. Come on. Come on. God spoke to your heart. You raised your hand. Come on. Right now. Amen. Join these. Come on. God's spoken to your heart. You just want to pray about something. God's dealing with you about something. Come on. Right now. Right now. Right now. Amen. Amen. What a great, great challenge. What a great challenge. Amen. Any others? You want to come. You want to pray. Want to give you that opportunity. God's spoken to your heart. Of course, we'll have an invitation in the morning service, but why not get it settled now? Why not pray about it now? Come on. Thank you so much, Father, for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for Brother Bowman. Thank you for his years on the mission field. And Lord, thank you that he was trained with people right here, Sunday school teachers, as he said, school teachers. And Lord, I just pray we would see that, and we'd see how it's to be passed on. Help it not to stop with any of us, no one here. Help the gospel not to stop with us, but to keep going. I pray you will. Bless the morning service, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.